May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 924. Great rock for weary sinners made, when storms of sin distress the soul, here let me rest my weary head when lightnings blaze and thunders roll. Hymn 924.
Let us read from the Holy Scriptures, reading in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40. In the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May the Lord bless to us that reading from his word, and grant us access at the throne of grace. O thou, the eternal Lord God, Lord, we have read of thy greatness, and Lord, may we bow before thee, the Holy One, Lord, the Most High God, the Creator of heaven and earth and all that therein is. And Lord, we have read thy word, we are as grasshoppers, for thou dost sit upon the circle of the earth. And thou didst say, Lord, to thine own, that one of whom thou didst say he was redeemed, to Jacob, thou worm Jacob. And Lord, we are no more than he, and even worse we feel in our souls at times, worms of the earth. We would bow before thee as poor and needy sinners. Lord, we have no words, as it were, Lord, to speak before thee. We can bring no answer to our sin. Lord, it is before us. The evidence is clear. We are accounted amongst those, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, we know that we are sinners. Oh, Lord, does not thy word continually declare it? We plead, Lord, to understand it aright. Lord, oh, for the grace of repentance. We long for it to come. We own, Lord, that so often these things can so easily, as it were, go past our eyes. Yet, Lord, when thou dost awaken us, and Lord, when we are taught, then we have that which is revealed, what we are before thee. Lord, we plead for mercy. We bow before thee as sinners, crying unto thee for grace. Lord, look upon us. We do plead in mercy. Lord, we are undeserving sinners, not worthy of the least of thy mercies. We pray for a thankful heart, Lord. Lord, to know and understand, at least in measure, what we have received here below. And Lord, if thou hast begun in our poor dying soul, if we have, Lord, even some small amount of faith, however small it may seem, yet, Lord, that faith is not of our own. We trust that it may not be so. Lord, spare us from presumption. Spare us, Lord, from building on a false foundation. But oh, may we build upon only that which will stand forever. There is none other. The Lord Jesus Christ, the rock. We sung that beautiful hymn, Great Rock, for weary sinners made. And Lord, it does remind us of more than one occasion when we can think of one dear soul now. We truly believe in thy eternal presence and the tears running down her cheeks. Lord, she feelingly sang the hymn. Oh, Lord, may we have these echoes in our hearts. Lord, to bring it before thee. Lord, look upon us. Be that covert. Be that covering. Lord, oh, be that shelter, that hiding place. May we enter in, Lord. Call us. Bring us nigh, we do plead, by the blood of Christ. Lord, we have no other plea. We can bring nothing before thee but wood and hay and stubble, which the flame and the fire will consume. But Lord, oh, that thou wilt yet have mercy. Do grant thy blessing in this time of our gathering. We do seek thy presence, Lord. Oh, if we're left to ourselves, Lord, we would not wish to be empty sent away. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Provide some power and sweetness. Lord, touch our hearts with a sense of ourselves as sinners. Humble us in the dust. Bring us low, Lord. Bring down the old nature. But oh, that in thy mercy there may be raised up within us, Lord, something of that new man of grace. That one that clings, that pleads, that cries, that weeps, that mourns, that seeks. Those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. Lord, grant that we may be counted among those that seek. We plead, Lord, for that spiritual sight. Oh, do grant it to us. Lord, do bless us each in our gathering. Once more as we gather in thy courts, O Lord, for thy work to appear unto thy servants. Bless the dear friends gathering here. Be with them, their deacon, Lord, the church and congregation too, the young, the Sunday school, all that is done, Lord, thou dost know and see. O work mightily, Lord. May thy work, Lord, be made manifest, that it is that work of grace. May the young be spared and kept, Lord, from the evil. Hedge them about, hedge up their ways, Lord, we plead of thee. Keep them from the world, from worldliness. Have mercy upon them, we plead. Be with them, Lord, as they have been able to go back to their school days, and, Lord, to continue. Some are being schooled at home, we know some do go to their school place. Be with them, Lord, in that, and help them, we pray. Lord, we seek thy blessing upon them. We pray that, Lord, they too may be taught of God. Oh, that in thy mercy, Lord, they may be called by thy grace. And we remember thy dear servant speaking from those words who seem to be pillars. And we plead, Lord, that through thy mercy may there be those raised up who shall be like those who seemed to be pillars. We pray for these mercies. Do be with parents and families, Lord. We seek that thou encourage them, be with them. Lord, do grant them, Lord, a living faith, a spirit, a spirit, Lord, of prayer. We plead that thou have mercy upon them. And Lord, do bless them. And go before them, and be their supply of every blessing and of every grace. Lord, we would look up unto thee. We seek these mercies. O Lord, only thou canst work mightily. May thy work, Lord, continue, even in this poor sinful earth. But Lord, thou dost reveal thou hast a people. And we give thanks, Lord, that that is what continues. Those that seek thy face, those that come and plead for mercy. Lord, those where the work of grace is within them, Lord, we pray that thou pour forth of thy Spirit. Lord, leave us not to ourselves. Lord, awaken us, quicken us. Lord, refresh us, revive us. We do plead of thee. May it be so this night, that by thy grace and mercy, Lord, there may be that awakening. We plead for that mercy and that grace. Lord, who hear prayer for one another, the prayers that have been offered up for this evening hour. Bless the labours of thy servants. Help, Lord, in all their needs, and all to go before them, and grant that they may be the means, according to thy sovereign will, instruments in thy sovereign hand. We seek thy blessing, Lord, upon the labour. Oh, that it may be truly that labour that is in the Lord and of the Lord, to be found to be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. To be with dear friends in old age, weakness, frailty, we seek that, Lord, thou would strengthen them and help them through each day, that they may know that underneath are the everlasting arms. We pray for mercy for them too, and seek, Lord, that there may be those times when thou shalt bring before them, at least by thy grace and in measure, those continual thoughts, Lord, of past mercies. Oh, that, Lord, thou wilt be with them and have mercy upon them, and do comfort where there is sadness and sorrow in any heart, Lord. We think of dear friends that, Lord, have been bereaved, whether widows or widowers or now perhaps the fatherless. Oh, be with them. Be the God of all comfort. We do plead of thee. So do hear our prayers, Lord. We live in a dark and a cloudy day. Sin abounds. We so often tremble, Lord, of those things at times that we hear. Vain man is so strong and arrogant and brazen in his sin. Yet, Lord, they shall be judged. And, Lord, we too shall receive judgment. And, Lord, may we also fear it. But, Lord, we read that thou art angry with the wicked every day. And, Lord, dost thou not pour forth thy righteous judgments? Lord, we are in the midst of this virus that thou hast sent. Lord, may it teach us. May there be some revealing in it. We give thanks unto thee for the mercy, Lord, that thus far we have been spared. But, Lord, thy sovereign will shall unfold. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We read of the hymn, thy undisturbed affairs move on. Lord, oh, that we might learn from this solemn judgment. Oh, that thou wouldest waken the leaders of the nations. We fear they, for the most part, do not seem to know thee. Lord, how solemn is the day. Lord, have mercy upon us. O Lord, do overrule in these things. Hear the cry of the remnant, who sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. O Lord, do be one more with us. Do bless thy precious word. We give thanks, Lord, thus far, for the mercies of the day. But, O Lord, may it not all now be left, as it were, to one side, but may it please thee, Lord, to bless, Lord, to pour forth upon us that blessing of thy presence, Lord, of that which shall be upon thy word. It shall go forth, thou hast revealed in thy word, and accomplish that whereto thou shalt send it. May it be for the good of souls. Lord, come and teach us. We do plead of thee. O Lord, that thou wilt now bless us and have mercy upon us. And Lord, we pray that even in this time of considering, Lord, of the situation that we're in, do accept our praises. But oh, as we have thought even this evening, do sanctify these things to us. Lord, these trials. Lord, these hard things. Yet, Lord, thou dost know. Thou dost see. Grant us, Lord, those praises from within to rise up unto thee. So do bless, we plead of thee. Do have mercy. Do cleanse in Jesus' precious blood. Lord, go beyond the poor prayer offered. We do plead. Thy word declares thou hast more to give than we can ever ask or think. So we so often, Lord, are taught of God, thy great goodness, thy loving kindness, thy tender mercies. Lord, now do bless, do forgive, hearken and do. We do plead of thee as we seek all for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen.
Hymn number 612. In every believer two armies are seen, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. In Christ he is perfect and free from all guilt, yet in himself evils are both seen and felt. Hymn 612.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's gracious help, let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 40. The word has been laid upon my heart, but I will read the two verses in which it is contained, which are the verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 40, reading the verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The word that has been upon my mind has been this in verse 2. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. I confess to having been perhaps in some difficulty, having sought for a word for this evening. This word came almost as soon as our dear friend had spoken to me regarding the confirming of this engagement. I have tried to turn from it, I confess, to my sin in so many ways, but it has completely overtaken my heart and mind. So seeking that gracious help so much needed, I must venture. The word is this: cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. These are the words of God. They're spoken to Isaiah. And if we continue into the chapter, there was the word, the voice said, cry. And he said, verse 6, what shall I cry? And this was the cry that also was given: all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And I was also thinking of an earlier chapter in this prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 6, and a verse and parts of it are very often quoted both by myself and the Lord's servants. It's a brief chapter, but it speaks of that time when Isaiah the king had died. It can be, as it were, stated upon a certain time. And what Isaiah saw: he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I will dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And if we read through, you'll see that one of the seraphims flew, having a live coal in his hand, and he touched the lips. And he laid it, verse 7, upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Then we have a request, and a question, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And what a message he was given. Solemn hill, it seemed to me so true of this day. Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, but yet in it shall be a tenth. We read in many places of the scripture of a remnant of the Lord's dear people. But let us return to this second verse and that which seemed to come upon my heart. There was this word of the Lord God given to Isaiah, cry unto her. I often think of those of ourselves, of the Lord's dear people, how many cries we utter unto the Lord. David, so many times in the Psalms, cried unto his God. No doubt wept. The tears flowed. He says in one psalm, are not my tears in thy bottle? But here there is, as it were, a very definite direction. Cry unto her. She is Jerusalem. We can say that at this time, of course, these would have been the Israelites, those 10 tribes, the 2 tribes, how they had split, become Israel and Judah. Judah in the south, Israel in the north. Yet, even in the midst of these things, it is Jerusalem or Zion, as it is referred to later in verse 9, O Zion. It is the Lord's people. What of you, what of me? Cry unto her. There was this cry. It was to be the preaching. It was the manner as to how preaching took place. The Lord himself spoke to the disciples that they were to go upon the housetop. And that which they heard in the ear, he says, that preach ye. Most preaching, if we read of it in the Lord himself, how he stood with a great company around him, multitudes we read at times. No doubt his voice was raised up, and very much like, if we think of one later, many years later in his life, George Whitefield, what a voice he must have been granted. Thousands gathered in fields and heard, we believe, every word. But the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher that has ever walked this earth, the teaching that came from his lips. And yet there is a word here, cry unto her, the bride of Christ. Surely this is the meaning here. She is that church. Isaiah, in the Lord's mercy, by the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit's word, was greatly given a sweet understanding of the coming of the Lord Jesus. The Messiah is so often referred to in his prophecy. We can read those various words. You can see it in Isaiah 9, Isaiah 6. You can see it in Isaiah 53. And there's many more than that where we can read. And the Lord himself, as we know, he took up the language of Isaiah, sat down and said, this day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears. Isaiah referred to so many occasions. And yet, here is the voice of the Lord. Cry unto her. Now, the word is speaking comfortably to Jerusalem. There is a margin here which is understandable. It says to the heart. It's the speaking to the heart. It has to enter in. There must be that word of his grace, ears to hear. We have those exhortations, particularly in the New Testament. He which hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Lord himself spake those words. He which hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, that the Lord would speak to us. Cry unto her. Dear friend, dear soul, if you have a hope in the mercy of God, these words truly will enter into your soul. I trust they have entered into mine. What is spoken here, cry unto her, the Lord's voice, when the Lord raises up his voice. The beautiful language of the gospel in John 10, where the dear Lord Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice. He says, they know my voice, they follow me. Cry unto her. But this is a message for the Lord's servant. This is to be spoken. What of you? What of me? Friends, we plead that we may hear the voice of God. It is that voice that is an almighty voice to us. It is the voice of judgment. It stands against man. Vain man will have to bow under the voice of God. But this was a word of comfort. This was a word that was to be spoken to the heart. Cry unto her. May we hear the voice of the Lord. Is not the Lord speaking day by day? And even ourselves, as we trust that the Lord has raised up within us that hope, that faith, however at times the tempter may assail it, cast us down, yet there is this cry to be made, this cry from the Lord. He was given the message. He was truly what the later prophet, the minor prophet, spoke of, the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Have you heard a cry in your soul? Oh, has the Lord called you by his grace? Have you heard that voice? It is the voice. Almighty God speaks. We can understand this in a very simple way from the beginning of time to the end of time. Creation, let us understand it, is God's word. God spake, it was done. And the Lord said, go through the early chapters of Genesis, right through to the seventh day when the Lord rested, you will see all creation was spoken into being. Go to the second epistle of Peter, to the chapter 3, and you will see where he says that this world, even as it stands this day, is held by the power of God. And when the Lord speaks, it will all be rolled up. The heavens and the earth as we know it now will cease to exist, but it will be the voice of God. In the meanwhile, the voice of God still speaks. It has spoken this day. Let us humbly bow under it. Think of the blessing, the mercy, the grace of God to us in the day, thus far, till this evening hour, till this moment in time. And the Lord speaks. Oh, to be granted the ear to hear. I do long for that. I feel the old nature is one that doesn't listen, as it were. Oh, that the Lord would reveal himself. May we have this cry spoken to us into the depth of our heart. You will see it's to the heart. It's not to the head. It's not a head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. It's within. It's in the soul, it's in the spirit. The Lord speaks, cry unto her. It was to be said. She was to hear it. I do pray and plead that we might hear what the Lord shall speak. Remember, let us think of that little lad Samuel, one that called him by his name. he had to hear. He had to answer, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Oh, that the Lord will speak unto us. He does speak in the day. It is a cloudy day, it is a dark day. Sin abounds, we are fully aware of these solemn truths and realities. It's abroad in the earth, it's everywhere. And not the least within ourselves. We have our own heart. We're no better than the world, no better than any sinner here below. But oh, that the Lord would cry unto us these precious truths, that her warfare. In the margin here I have appointed time. But it was this time, because all warfare, if you read it in the scriptures, was appointed. You read it through and you will see how that the tribes would go to the priests, would go to the sanctuary. They would seek, may the priest use the Urim and the Thummim, shall we go up, answered by the Lord God. Some occasions the answer would be no. And if they went up and they had not received an answer that was go, how soon they were cut down, how soon they were defeated. You find it in the scriptures. Her warfare. What a warfare we live in. There is, in my thoughts, those various ways that the Lord's dear people experience a warfare. The natural warfare that we have, that we are born in, shapen in sin, born in that iniquity. There we are, born in it, shapen in it. Sinners from the very moment we drew breath. That is a warfare, from the moment that our lives begin. Even those dear babes that we are granted, those dear children, grandchildren perhaps, and even in the Lord's mercy to ourselves, we have our great-grandchildren. And when the babe is born, from that very moment there's a soul. There's a soul in that little body. And what of that soul? It can never die. It will live either in heaven or in hell. It always raises up within my heart when we hear of these things as another soul to come to the throne of grace, to pray over, to seek that the Lord will have mercy upon it. Her warfare. Oh, what a state we live in. A state of a warfare. Satan is never far away. As we know, we have that warfare and we have to fight. Doesn't Peter say it in 1 Peter 5? He speaks of the devil, Satan, walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There he is upon the earth. We know in the opening chapters of Job, Satan comes amongst the princes, the sons of God. And what is he doing? Going up and down in the earth. He is going abroad. There is warfare. Yes, he's the agent of war, for he is the agent of sin. Friends, do we not have this solemn reality? It's a daily battle. It's a daily fight. And we feel it. And we fear that we might, as it were, fall under it. And we can sin and do sin. This is our greatest burden. All this is what causes us to weep and to mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. Yet the Lord says it. They shall be comforted. Cry unto her that her warfare, that warfare that goes on day by day. What a mercy that the Lord raises up one that fights for us on our behalf. You see, this is a reminder to her, the state that she is in. It is truly the church militant. We have those armies that we cannot see, those hosts that are in the Lord's hand, and solemnly those hosts that are in the evil one's hand. The warfare, the battle. But oh, may we know that, let us enter into the language of it. that her warfare is accomplished. The word accomplished here means literally, in its Hebrew form, completely filled. It's a complete fullness. Her warfare against sin, against Satan, against the world that would rise up within the heart and the soul. The sin, as dear Paul records, does so easily beset us. Friends, does it not? And yet this warfare, which goes on until our dying day, and yet one came upon this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he fought against that evil one. In his death, did not they rejoice and say, "Ah, we have silenced that man," and yet the warfare is accomplished. Upon the cross, there is an accomplishment. There is that which is filled and full. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke those words, "It is finished." Again, in the Greek, I understand it also means complete. It is full. Or there is satisfaction. You see, the sacrifice, when it is offered up, must be acceptable unto God. The Lord God, as he receives it, the Lord God Jehovah, the Father in heaven, as he receives the sacrifice, it must be complete, pure, holy, without blemish, without spot. We have all of these pictures, these understandings of how the sacrifice was to be made, particularly at the Passover. The instruction given is very clear. Then we have one who has accomplished this. Oh, the warfare was in his hands. And friends, are we not in a state of war? We know we live in that solemn state. We find it in our soul, our heart, our spirit. And that there are times when perhaps we feel no strength. How can we go on? The fight will consume us. And yet, this word here, "her warfare is accomplished," is the voice of God. It's not in our hands. We will never overcome Satan. It cannot be. Solemnly we must confess it. We must bow before a just and a holy God. Remember the language again of John in his epistle. If we confess our sins, he says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We must confess them. Bring them to the throne of grace. But the warfare is accomplished. And I see in this a beautiful expression of the Lord Jesus Christ. That precious blood. That blood shed. That blood that was poured out at the Passover. That was put upon the post, the doorpost, the lintels, the side of the doors. That was to be seen. The reason, as we know, for the Passover. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." That death would not come upon them. There was deliverance. There was mercy. There was salvation. Friends, I believe this is the word here. It is true, isn't it? It goes on. The Lord speaks. "Her iniquity is pardoned." Cleansed in that precious blood. The accomplishment of it. It is all done. It is all complete. This is mercy. Complete. It is finished. It is complete salvation. The sacrifice made is perfect. Paul writes of it again in the Epistle to the Hebrews. You can read it through, how he reveals the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice for sin. And do we know it? Has the Lord revealed it to us? That our warfare is accomplished only through Christ, through him. Oh, may it be our comfort this night. when the Lord speaks comfortably to Jerusalem, when he reveals to your poor never dying soul, well, he will reveal himself. The Holy Spirit's work, it continues. It is as much in evidence today as when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon this earth. It will never cease until the last moment of time. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Her iniquity is pardoned, her warfare. It's over. It is finished. It is done with. Then what does this, as it were, revealed to us in this full accomplishment of the blood of Christ poured out for us? Again, I've referred to the beautiful language of Isaiah in opening and the thought of the language that he speaks of, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see these precious words. Verse 10 of chapter 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, that is his church. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. There's the full accomplishment of the manner of the warfare being ended. Friends, we know that this warfare goes on. If through the Lord's mercy we're spared to leave at the close of the service, return to our homes for those days that the Lord has lengthened out to us, whether they be many or few, the warfare will go on. It will not cease. We will feel it. There are times when it will humble us. There will be times when we may feel almost despair, wonder how we can continue. And yet there's a higher hand. There's a hand of mercy, a hand of deliverance. Her warfare is accomplished. Through that precious blood of Christ, there is the mercy of God to a sinner. I cannot ever fully contemplate, as it were, why the Lord should be merciful to me. There is no reason in the scripture. There is no reason upon earth. Yet the Lord says that he will be merciful to whom he will be merciful. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. When we have that mercy in our soul, this will bring forth the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. Wrote one. Or have we been taught of these things? Has this voice spoken for us? Has the Lord revealed to us our warfare was in the hands of the dear Redeemer? Our sins were nailed to that cross. It's a beautiful passage of scripture where you read it, and Paul writes, does he not, to those at Colossae. I often look at it and we can refer to it. I'll read it to you. In Colossians 2 verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Friends, if we stop there, we would feel the wrath of God coming upon us. What shall we not receive? Judgment. But Paul goes on, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. There's the accomplishment. It's upon that cross of Christ. It's where that precious blood was shed. It's where the sacrifice was made. Now that sacrifice is full and complete. The warfare is ended. And then there's the victory, you see. What a beautiful thought there is here. Her iniquity is pardoned. And the Lord had much to suffer, as it were, regarding the iniquity of his people. When you read what the Lord says, he says, truly this is a grief and I must bear it. Read the language, read the context. The Lord is speaking regarding the sins of Israel and the Israelites and the tribes. That's what is spoken by a gracious God. He says, truly this is a grief and I must bear it. And yet, there's this so often revealed, particularly in this prophecy of Isaiah. Jeremiah 2, you can find it. How that the Lord, he says, that their iniquity is forgiven. He says that this is done not for their sake, but because he has loved them, but because they are his. They are a purchased possession, a peculiar people, a particular people, belonging unto a gracious God. Her iniquity is pardoned. Her warfare is accomplished. The accomplishment of it, the completion of it, is complete salvation. We plead for the spirit of faith to be raised up in us. I know I have, as all of the Lord's dear children, have those fears. On the evening that I first ever preached before the church at Bexley, you can read the hymn 938. What if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? It was with me then, it often is. And it's a cry from the soul, from the spirit. Oh, that the Lord would again confirm, apply his most precious word. The warfare is accomplished. It's in his hands. It is his work. It is completed. It is all done. It is all fulfilled. It has all come to pass. The warfare is over. It cannot be seen again. It cannot, as it were, be taken back. When once sin is pardoned, cleansed, forgiven, it cannot again be raised up. I know that Satan is the accuser of the Lord's dear people. That is the scripture. That's in the book of the Revelation. John saw him. You can read the chapter there, chapter 12. The accuser of the brethren does not cease to accuse them, he says, day nor night. And friends, he will accuse us. And what he points out, what can we say? We have no answer. We must bow under it. We must confess it. We must speak of it. We must bring it to the throne of grace. We must plead for it to be covered, to be cleansed, to be dealt with. But then the mercy of God is that it is accomplished. It is dealt with. Oh, I do pray for faith to believe this. I often feel, as I have to say to dear friends, you know, I speak to myself as I speak to others. But may the Lord grant that this word to enter into our soul this night. Or may he grant it unto us. Do pray for it. May it be made that precious word of his grace. Oh, to hear that voice, the voice. No, the word goes on in verse 3, and of course it refers to John the Baptist, as he was called, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Again, these words were referred to by the Lord Jesus very early in Matthew's Gospel and Mark's, Luke's. You'll find them in those three. What was the way of the Lord in the wilderness? Why, it was this. Let us hear the voice of the Lord. Verse 4, every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Sweet revealing here. The Lord has spoken it. The Lord has revealed it. It will come to pass. We can then see that all of these things are eternal. They point to the Spirit's work and power. For surely this is the Spirit of God speaking. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her. The Spirit speaking that her warfare is accomplished. Now it speaks of an appointed time. And then there will be an appointed time for the accomplishment to be revealed. That appointed time for the Lord's dear people to leave this earth. But there is an appointed time set in the mind, the heart of the dear Father of God, the Lord God Jehovah, when the end of the world shall come. And in that appointed time, it will be revealed. It will be made known that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received. Beautiful language. Notice something that, to commence with, I confess I haven't really specifically thought of before, but this is all in the past tense. Notice this is not saying what will come. This is not saying what is yet to be received, but what has been received, what is done. It is over. It is complete. Her warfare is accomplished. Satan is conquered. He's a conquered foe. You can read in the book of the Revelation where it speaks of Satan, he knoweth he hath but a short time. His time is in the hand of God. Her iniquity is pardoned. That's eternal. That's forever. That's almighty. That's for the elect. The election of grace. These are the Lord's dear children. We know solemnly that amongst even the Israelites, look at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke against him, did not accept his words, did not receive the gospel message, did not hear his voice, rose up against him. The high priests even crying out, crucify him, away with him. Yet there was a remnant. There was a number, a small number, yet were to be brought through the fire. And they were delivered. The elect, the election of God, the election of grace. These are the people, I feel, that are spoken to here. When Jerusalem is spoken of, it is those who belong to the holy Jerusalem, the heavenly city. Speak comfortably to them. They will hear. They will receive it. They will be humbled. They will praise. They will worship. They will weep. They will mourn over their sin. Or they will know the presence of the Lord. They will know the power of God upon them. The Lord's work in their soul. The Lord's accomplishment for them. They will receive it. She hath received. This is mercy. I trust that we may know something of these things this night. Oh, has it touched your heart, it's touched mine. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Many battles go on, as we know they shall. Solemnly they will come from different quarters. Satan is ever busy. He never ceases. He will so often raise up in our hearts evil thoughts. Sin, evil, iniquity will come from so many sources. And yet, there is an overcoming. There is a warfare that is accomplished. All fulfilled. All brought to pass. Oh, may we be found to be amongst that number for whom the Lord spake these words, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. We do need it. We live in a cloudy and a dark day, a day when sin is so rampant in men's hearts. And so very solemn is the day in which our lot is cast. Yet there is a company. There are the Lord's dear people. We would call them this language of God. Speak to Jerusalem. Speak to them. They are to receive that word. May we know the presence of the Lord in these things. I will leave these thoughts with you. I do pray that they may be true of us each, that we may be granted that sweet understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished our warfare. He will end it. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, followed by a church meeting, and Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 980. When sins and fears prevailing rise, and fainting hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes, to thee I breathe my soul's desires. Hymn 980.
Dear Lord, do pardon all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss. O Lord, how much we would seek and desire that living faith. Lord, the things that remain, may they not die. Raise up our hope. Grant us, Lord, a living faith. Come again, Lord, revive and quicken our poor dying souls. They will die to this world, but oh, may it be in thy mercy they shall live forever in thy eternal presence. Do bless thy word. Lord, have mercy upon us each. Forgive anything spoken amiss. We cast ourselves into thy care and safekeeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.